hello, and welcome to Weekend Programming here on Radio Prague. I'm Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's show. In just a moment, Marek Hovorka, the man behind the most important documentary film festival in the Czech Republic in Jihlava, joins Ian Willoughby for another edition of My Prague. That'll be followed by a soundcheck in which you can learn some of the idioms and secrets of the Czech language through song lyrics. And Ruth Frankova has a new edition of Czech Life with you, this time exploring Tantra here in the Czech Republic. Straight away, though, let's get started. My Prague, hosted by Ian Willoughby.
Marek Hovorka is only based part-time in Prague. The rest of the time he lives in his hometown of Jihlava, where he's been running the Czech Republic's most important documentary film festival for nearly two decades. When we caught up, Marek was super busy, putting the finishing touches to the program before the start of this year's Jihlava in under a fortnight's time. So instead of the usual My Prague format of visiting various spots, we discussed his relationship to the city at a cafe at Letenské náměstí in Prague 7, the district where he lives and works.
I like Prague 7 because it's like small town in town. Yeah, you feel that you're part of some neighborhood. And it's also very open in way of parks, and it's very close to the center but behind the river, so there's not so many tourists, but on the other hand it's not so far like Prague 6. So yeah, I have to say that Prague 7 it's a really nice place to live, and not surprisingly in past years it became one of the places in Prague where many young people want to live.
Are there places in Prague that documentary filmmakers congregate to go out or work? Are there places where I would find a lot of documentary makers?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think many of them you find around Film Academy, because they have some lectures there, they are part of Department of Documentary Film, or they are in touch with some students. And then those directors who more work for Czech TV, you can find on Kavčí Hory and around the television studios. So these are like two most common places for documentary filmmakers based to their work. But of course, because it's film people, so they usually go to cinema, or if not usually, they still try to go to cinema. So cinemas like Svetozor or this Cinema Oko at Prague 7 are for sure one of key places where they want to spend time if they want to go to cinema.
Have there been good documentaries made about Prague, would you say?
Well, it's a good question. And of course, there are some tries in past years. Some of them were part of a special documentary series for Czech TV based on different locations. The other one is this famous Šumná města, this series about architecture. And like from not so deep past, but let's say from 80s, there is a great film done about Prague by Věra Chytilová, and it's interesting how you can feel also the changing of the atmosphere, that the place is pretty grey, but the atmosphere is changing, it's not so grey.
What's it called?
Praha neklidné srdce Evropy. It's really very very interesting way in the form, but also in the spirit of that time. And Věra Chytilová is one of the best filmmakers we had, so it's great. And of course, then there are very nice films done by Alexander Hackenschmidt in 30s, or by Otakar Vávra with this feel of avant-garde film. Again, like Bezúčelná procházka by Hamid. It's a great film, which for the first look when you see it is about nothing serious, but then you realize that that's it, that it's about the moment when you have free afternoon on the weekends and you go to spend it, to have a walk behind the Prague or at the suburbs. And it's really a masterpiece in the way how it's done with the free spirit. And also this famous film by Otakar Vávra, inspired by this avant-garde filmmaking about this Prague in night. This many neons and lights, it's a it's a beautiful piece. So these films, for me, describe Prague the most.
What parts of Prague have you lived in the past? What have you found the best places to live in Prague?
Well, I have to say I lived for a couple of years in Rostocki, the small town near to Prague. And then I moved to Prague 7, and I'm moving from street to street, but I'm not changing the location.
What places do you like to go out in Prague?
Of course, working in this art space means to meet many people in cafes, so I try to discover new places.
It's hell going to all these cafes.
But I have to say that to find a good place for coffee in Czech Republic is not so easy, but it's changing. And then I have to say I like going to bookstores or to shops with old books, to some galleries. So if I have free time, and not so often, I find these places.
And what about pubs? Where would you go for a drink?
Often I really don't want to waste time with moving from one place to another. So what's the closest to my office or to my place that's the best? So usually, for example, in Cinema Oko, we have some drinks and meetings all around. You can find this local here near Stromovka or in Dlouhá Street. So there are a couple of places where me and my friends go if we have a free night.
Well, Oko is part of the fantastic chain, small chain, also featuring Iro and Svetozor, which I guess you're also, are you also connected with those in some way?
Yeah. I have to say that Iro 10, 15 years ago was a real discovery and miracle, and the program they had at that time was completely changing the whole environment of art film. So, of course, I spent many nights there eating this cheese with tartar sauce and potatoes or fruits or whatever.
As somebody who works in the cultural sphere and is very active in that area, how lively do you find Prague as a city for culture? How vibrant is it compared to other cities?
It's not easy for me to compare, because when I travel, I usually have my work at places, so I spend a lot of time watching films, meeting people. But what I've heard from many foreigners coming and spending some time in Prague, they really enjoy. The variety of culture we have here is for many of them surprising. I think what might be the problem is that there is a strong culture movement in some part of society, but it's not the real part of the society, of the whole society. So there are many people who are really doing great work and, you know, creating some spaces, theaters, clubs, hubs, whatever. But it's more like underground. It's still this kind of feeling that it's for me and my fellows, friends, then it's open space and open institution.
What do you find are downsides to living in Prague? Is there anything about Prague that you don't like?
I think that Prague is a very friendly place. Of course, every place is dangerous, yeah, all around the world. But still, as a person who knows the rules, I think you really can feel very safe compared to many other places I've been. So, and also what I like on Prague is that you pretty easily can move, that the public transport works well, and the system of trams is something what's really not everywhere. So for living, I think that Prague from big cities is one of you where you really can feel comfortable. The problem is that the people sometimes don't behave so much friendly, yeah, and this is something I'm usually sad when I see that they are not helping. For example, if you travel with tram and see that some woman has a kid in trolley and need help, nobody wants to help her. People are, you know, very nervous, don't want to talk so much to other people, don't want to live outside. Yeah? This kind of Czech phenomenon is strong in Prague, maybe stronger than in small towns where you can feel people much more.
Did you have to kind of get used to that when you came here, and maybe yourself also be a little bit less friendly?
I hope not. I hope not, but because I'm still surprised. But, you know, this is something like this tale about the frog, that if the frog jumps into the pot with hot water, the frog jumps out immediately. But if the frog jumps in the pot with cold water, but you're healing under it, and the water is getting warmer and warmer, the frog doesn't realize it, and then it's too late to jump out. So I think that it was very different 10 years ago, and it's changing. But I hope that the tension in society will be maybe better, and the new generation, which is more traveling and going outside and coming back, that they will not continue this way of not so open living and sharing the town with others.
Well, I guess you must travel quite a lot for your work. What are the things that you see when you go to other cities that you think, I would love if this was in Prague?
For sure, the way how you live outside the buildings, to have a coffee or a restaurant on the street, on the square, it's something what's nice. Yeah, why not to enjoy time outside, because you're always in the building, in the office, in the work, shopping, living, sleeping, always inside. So I think it's always good to spend more time outside and to take care of the places, to, you know, to think about parks, about space where you want to be and you feel comfortable. And this is something, it's changing, and now this fashion of new architecture, you know, you read it in many newspapers, magazines. I believe that it's not only about reading, but about changing, and that there will be more and more places like this, because, of course, it's from communist times that people were not free to speak, so they didn't have reason to be in towns or cities outside. Yeah? Maybe in some duchies or countryside, but not in the cities and towns. But it's crazy that it's, you know, 25 years after the revolution, but the feeling of being unsure and unsafe in these places is still here. This is frightening me, that when you make some change in the society, to heal it takes a really long time.
Marek Hovorka, the man behind the Jihlava Documentary Film Festival, was Ian Willoughby's guest in today's My Prague. Now we continue with Soundcheck and Ruth Frankova.
Hello and welcome to a fresh edition of Soundcheck, in which you can learn interesting Czech idioms with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by the singer-songwriter Pavel Dobeš. It's called Zoom Zoom, and the phrase to listen out for is Nejde mi to na rozum.
Zoom 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 zoom, a nejde mi to do kabula. Zoom 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 zoom, a nejde mi to na rozum.
The phrase nejde mi to na rozum is used when you don't understand something, and the closest English translation would probably be I can't make any sense of it. You can also hear another similar phrase in the refrain, which goes nejde mi to do kebule. Kebule is a rather expressive term for head, but otherwise the phrase has the same meaning. Things simply don't add up. Listen once again.
Zoom, 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 zoom. A nejde mi to do kebule. Zoom, 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 zoom. A nejde mi to na rozum.
Czech language has plenty of ways to express that you don't understand something or that you are confused. One of them is mám v hlavě zmatek, literally, I have chaos in my head. But there is also a more expressive one, mám v hlavě guláš, literally, I have guláš in my head, or mám v hlavě piliny, my head is full of wood chips.
Zum, 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 zum. A nejde mi to do kabule, zum, 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 zum. A nejde mi to na rozum.
You could also say mám v hlavě vygumováno, which means everything in my head is erased, or I have nothing between the ears. In that case, it's time to give your mind a rest, or, as the Czechs say, pročistit si hlavu, and put your thoughts in order, srovnat si myšlenky. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. I hope I'm not leaving you with too much goulash in your heads. Thank you for listening, and until next time, nashledanou.
Zum, 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 a najde mi to do kabu a zum, 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 a najde mi to na rozum.
Ruth Frankova there. In most people's minds, the treeless landscape of the tundra is usually associated with Arctic countries somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere. But in fact, you could also come across tundra here in the Czech Republic, that is, in the giant mountains in the northeast of the country. Just how exactly has tundra developed in the heart of Europe? Ruth Frankova finds out in today's edition of Czech Life.
The Krkonoše Mountains in the north of the Czech Republic are home to the country's biggest national park and one of the most popular tourist destinations. But not many visitors are aware that there is a natural treasure hidden in the midst of the mountains, the Arcto-Alpine Tundra. A new campaign entitled Krkonoše, Tundra in the Heart of Europe, is trying to change that. I spoke to Jakub Kašpar, the deputy head of the Krkonoše National Park, and I first asked him to tell me a few words about the tundra biome.
The most understandable definition should be that it is a biotope which is characterized by absence of forest or high forest. So it's forest-free biotope, which is usually placed on the northeast areas of the continents, in Arctic areas behind the polar circle. But there are some very few exceptions, and the Krkonoše Mountains is one of those exceptions, and it is due to the prehistory of the region.
So how exactly did the Arctic Alpine Tundra develop in the heart of Europe? As you said, one would associate it with other parts of the world, with the Northern Hemisphere, with the Alps.
It was due to the very large glacier, which covered the northern part of Europe 20,000 years ago. And the end of the glacier was some 30 kilometers north from the Krkonoše Mountains range. In that time, the climate in the Krkonoše Mountains was very similar to what we can see in Arctic now. And the mountains themselves were covered by the mountain glaciers. Therefore, the average temperatures were very low and the summer period was very short. And in that time, the biodiversity as well as the geological diversity formed to the form of the Krkonoše tundra or Arcto-Alpine tundra. And it is due to the fact that the special composition of species and the geomorphological forms of the landscape combine phenomena from the Arctic tundra with phenomena which are specific for higher mountains. And this is also due to the fact that Krkonoše Mountains are located on a very special area, because north from the mountain range, there is no other mountain range up to the sea. So all the winds which are coming from north and northwest stop just on the mountain range of Krkonoše Mountains. And therefore the climate is much tougher than the climate would be in such an altitude. So if you were in Alps or in Caucasus, for example, at the level of 1,500 meters above the sea level, you will see forests or pastures. But here in the Krkonoše Mountains, you have tundra ecosystems.
What kind of vegetation and animals are typical for that landscape? And are there some unique animal or plant species that can only be found in the Krkonoše tundra?
Yes, there are two very important groups of plants and animal species which are recognized here in the Krkonoše tundra as one of the most valuable things why the national park was declared here. And one of the group is called glacial relics. These are species which are, for example, in northern Scandinavia, absolutely common, like the bird, which is called blue throat, or a plant, which is called cloudberry. In Finland, you can buy ice creams or jam from cloudberries. But here in the Krkonoše Mountains, it is 800 kilometers to south, the only place in the world the cloudberry grows and also fruits. And in the same time, there is the northest place in the world where dwarf pine grows, and altogether they create a special kind of biotope, which is called dwarf pine cloudberry ecosystem. And the second group I was speaking about is the endemic species. There are several of them here in the Krkonoše Mountains. Just to give an example, We have a special kind of sorbus tree here, which is a combination of two other species which are quite common in Central Europe. And they created naturally the new species, which is called Sorbus sudetica. And you can find it only in the Krkonoše Mountains and even in one small part of the mountain.
What part of the national park is actually taken up by tundra?
It's not so clear because it depends on what we exactly take into the what we are calling tundra. If we are speaking about only the top parts of the mountain range, or if we also speak about the glacial cirques in the glacial valleys here in the Krkonoše Mountains, but altogether we can say that it is about 10 or 12% of the national park area.
And is it normally accessible by tourists, or is it a subject to a stricter protection?
There is a special protection regulation regarding the core zones of the national park in all the Czech Republic. It is not connected specially to tundra. And it says that in the core zone of the national park, or it is called first zone of the national park, you are not allowed to step away from the marked tourist route. And it is the same in tundra, but it is quite well accessible, I think, here in the Krkonoše Mountains through the market route network, which is quite dense here in the Krkonoše Mountains. So people can experience tundra and its phenomena on their own, and it is not tricky to touch all the phenomena of tundra personally by their hands and to experience it by their senses.
You have recently launched a month-long campaign to promote tundra in Krkonoše. It's called Krkonoše Tundra in the Heart of Europe. What are the main goals of this project?
You know, the Krkonoše Mountains is not only area of tundra. It's the area of the national park, but it's also the area which is very traditionally used for sports and recreation. In the Krkonoše Mountains, that was the area where skiing started in 1870s and where tourism started in 1850s. And the tradition of sports, recreation and tourism here is very long. And in a common sense, especially in the Czech Republic, when you say Krkonoše, the common idea would appear that, okay, it's the skiing area. And we would like to shift it a bit to stress much more that there is something what is nowhere else in the world, and that's Krkonoše Tundra. And that's the main reason why we have started, with the help of so-called Norwegian funds, that campaign Krkonoše Tundra in the Heart of Europe, to put the topic of tundra more to the interest of the general public. And that one-month campaign is only a start. We will promote tundra and its phenomena and its values throughout all the year 2016. So all next year, it will be our main communication subject.
So what will the project include?
The project itself includes the campaign with advertisements in media, in print. It includes also roadshow, which is traveling through 5 big Czech towns or cities. It is just now in Liberec, and there are tents on the main squares of those cities. And in the tent, people can receive some information and knowledge about tundra and its ecosystems and its species and so on. They can also, children especially, can paint some paintings of how they imagine tundra and its species. And from those paintings and verses, we plan to publish a book next year. People can meet, they can ask some questions about tundra and so on. That's the one-month campaign. And then we will, of course, continue by our normal work, but we will stress much more the topic and issue of tundra than normally.
Finally, you told me that tundra has developed due to unique climate conditions. Is it currently threatened by the changing climate conditions, for instance, by global warming? Have you noticed any changes taking place in recent years?
Unfortunately, Krkonoše Tundra can be really threatened by climate change, and we already face some changes. Statistically, we can see quite a huge change in the average temperature during the year. So if we take it some 30 years ago, the average temperature change is in percents. It's up to 3 grades change during 30 years, and it's quite huge. We can see also changes in biodiversity, that, for example, ticks are going up. Some 20 years ago, it was not normal to see ticks in the mountains spruce forest. Nowadays, it's quite a common thing. wild boars are going up. It's not only because of the climate change, but of course also because of the high numbers of wild boars in the Czech Republic. And also the forest tree line is going up to the mountains. So if the climate change will continue, as predicted by Intergovernmental Panel for Climate Change, we are really afraid that it can really threaten the Krkonoše tundra and its existence.
Jakub Kašpar, deputy head of the Krkonoše National Park, was Ruth Frankova's guest in that edition of Czech Life, focusing most unusually on tundra, or the fact that tundra is here in the Czech Republic where you might not expect it. We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you'd like to comment, have any questions for us, write to english@radio.cz. Also, of course, as always, you'll find many more stories, news items, and features at our website. Radio.cz is the address to visit, and Radio Prague is also on Twitter and Facebook. I'm Jan Wellinger. For all of us here at the station, thank you so much for joining us this day, and take care.